Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, November 14, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter How It Works on page 59. We will be reading the second paragraph. Here are the steps we took through step two, which ends in restore us to sanity, just unpacking down to step two. Today's readers are, and thank you everyone, Team Thursday, Anita L., Katie G., Crystal R., on the 12 steps, Cheryl S., on the traditions, Kathy C., our newcomer greeter, Anne Marie M., the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Roz G., and announcements will be Janice P.M. The reference numbers for yesterday, 7 a.m. meeting, Wednesday, November 13th, 7 a.m., 21,908, and for the 10 a.m. meeting, 21,909. That's 21908 and 21909. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Cheryl S. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Cheryl. Cheryl, are you there? Press star one to unmute.
Good morning, Cheryl S. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl S. I will now ask for Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Kathy.
Good morning, family. This is Kathy, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New York. Number one, Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we make service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do this service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy C. Okie dokie, let's find out how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works. We are on page 59, and I am going, on the second paragraph, reading through step 2. And I am going to ask Anita L. to get us started. Please go ahead, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for your service. This is Anita L. outside of Philadelphia. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, there's so much right there. I'm so grateful to say that for today, my higher power loves me so much that I have been taken from denial to finally admitting, not only admitting, accepting that I have this disease. I'm wired differently than a normal eater. My husband's a normal eater. He can put it down after a bite. And what I would do is just like in the disease, I would stare at that thing and wonder if he's going to finish it or not, because I would want that. But for today, I'm no longer in that place. I have been restored to sanity. And, you know, a long time ago, I went to a workshop on the steps and traditions, and the person said in step one, I not only can admit I'm powerless over food, certain foods, you know, my trigger, all foods, I can accept this fact. So when I say step one today, I say I can admit and accept that I am powerless over food, and it makes my life unmanageable. Why does it make my life unmanageable? Because my thinking is strayed. It's numbed out when I engage in my disease. And for today, I can accept the fact that I no longer need to think that food will give me comfort, because it never can. It may for a few seconds, but then all the self-hate, all that stuff, those four horsemen, they come up, and I don't like who I am, and I don't want to live that way anymore. I have come to believe that only a spiritual entity, a spiritual energy, a spiritual power can restore me to sane thinking and living behaviors. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I, every day, especially lately, am surrendering my fears. There are several people on this line who know that, you know, life is not perfect. It'll never be perfect. And that's why I can just live one day at a time to the best of my ability. And I do that by going to my higher power. And I know that God will carry me throughout it all, because I've been given too many miracles to know that it would be any different. So I just have to have faith and trust that God can do for me what I could never do for myself. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Anita L., for getting us started. Okay, we'd love to hear from those who'd like to share on what was read. But although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you shared in the last couple days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday, we ask that you step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope today. So who would like to share on what was read? Please give me your first name and the initial
Janet.
Of your last name.
Janet B.
Janet B.
Conayetta.
Christina
Loretta
J.
H.
Conayetta.
Rita R.
I got you, Conayetta. I got you, Loretta H. There was a guy I missed earlier. Who was that? Was that Rick?
Did you get Jamie, Christina?
Did I get
Rick? Yeah, that was Rick J.
And Christina J.
Okay, Rick. I thought it was Rick J.
Troy
C. Okay. Sheer
F.
Troy C. Okay, everything. Who F?
Sheer, S-H-I-R. Sheer, S-H-I-R.
Yeah, Sheer F. Okay, this is who I've got. Janet B., Hanietta, Loretta H., Rick J., Christina J., Troy C., Sheer F. Who did I miss in that first batch?
Rita R.
Did I get everybody? Rita. I did hear Rita. Okay, Rita R. Okay. All right, we got a great group here. Janet B. followed. Oh, Pete. All right, I'll add you there. Okay. So I've got Janet B., Hanietta, Loretta H., Rick J., Christina J., Troy C., Sheer F., Rita R., and Pete B. Okay, let's start with Janet. You're up, Janet. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So that first step, admitted we were powerless over food. Our lives were unmanageable. I remember going to my first OA meeting And they're telling, you know, reading the stats, and they say, you have to admit you're powerless. I'm like, okay, yes, I admit it. And they said, great, now stick to a food plan. I'm like, okay, on the one hand, you're telling me I'm powerless, and then you're telling me to stick to a food plan. How does that work? And, you know, first I had to understand what powerless was, right? Like, was there this little gremlin putting my hand into like a bag of this or a carton of that? No. But page 24 says that at a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic or the eating of every compulsive eater, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop is of absolutely no avail. So I wanted to stop more than anything, but I couldn't. I didn't have the power. Well, how come? And our book talks about that, that there's we have no effective mental defense, that the memory of our past suffering doesn't stop us. So I grew up in Florida. I grew up going to the beach, and I got a couple nasty sunburns. So when I was about to go to the beach, my memory had all these data points of you didn't put sunscreen on and you got a nasty sunburn. Sends a thought running across the bridge to my conscious mind saying, danger, put on sunscreen or you're going to have a nasty sunburn. Or I'm allergic to cats. So if I'm about to go near a cat, my memory scans the data points in my mind. You were near a cat, you had an asthma attack. You were near a cat, you had a sinus infection. Generates a thought to run across the bridge to my conscious mind to say, danger, stop. Cats will get you sick. And I don't go near a cat. But with food, something was different. So in college, I used to binge on these certain kind of cookies. They'd come in a box of 20. I'd tell myself, I'm just going to have one or two. Well, we know how that story ended every time, eating the box of 20, sometimes more, making myself throw up, rinse, repeat. So I'm about to go to the store, buy my box of 20 to just have one. My memory grabs the data points. You said you were going to have one. You ate the whole box. You said you were going to have one. You ate two boxes, threw up, were miserable. The thought goes across the bridge to my conscious mind. But unlike with cats and sunburns, the bridge is broken and the thought can't get across. I have no mental defense against the first compulsive bite because the bridge between my memory and my conscious mind is broken and I am powerless. Well, what do I do then? I can't build that bridge back. It's always broken. Don't know how it got broken. Doesn't matter. This program teaches me how to build a new bridge, and that's a bridge to God that I get with trust, surrender, cleaning up the wreckage of my past, and then helping others. What a beautiful program this is that explains the mental obsession, the lack of memory in my mind, the broken bridge in my mind, and then gives me the steps to build a bridge to God. Thanks. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Janet B. Okay, Hanietta, please go ahead. You're up. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Janet B. from North Carolina. All right, Hanietta, you're up, please.
Thank you. This is Hanietta from Texas, Plano, Texas. Thank you for your service, my okie dokie person. I love you. And thank you for the first two shares. I mean, wow, they were absolutely magnificent. I am a recovered compulsive eater, overeater in remission today. The first two steps, but first it says, here are the steps we took. And the first step, I knew that I was powerless. I knew when I came into program in July of 1981, I knew that I was a mess. But I didn't think my life was unmanageable. What do you mean unmanageable? You know, I can manage my life. I pay the bills. You know, I get the kids to school. I, you know, all the things you can do in a day. But nobody cooked the whole turkey and ate all of it but just the white breast for their family before they came home. You know, nobody did things like that. You know, so I knew that I was powerless, but my life was manageable. But anyway, the second step, when I went into my very first meeting, I walked in, and when they said that I could be restored to sanity, that did it for me. That was the most amazing statement I could have ever heard. I could be restored to sanity. But then the question came up, do I deserve to be restored to sanity? I'm such a bad person. Why would God want to restore me to sanity? You know, he's got other people to work on. He doesn't want to work on me. I'm a piece of garbage, you know. And I really had to work on getting over that and finding out that loving yourself is part of this program. You know, loving yourself. You know, I teach kids from junior high to senior high, and I tell them the secret to life is loving yourself, patting yourself on the back, saying you're doing a good job. And I'm doing a good job. I do a good job in this program. I really work hard, and I do the steps, and I teach the steps, and I love you all, and I try to give calls, and I love outreach calls. I'm the only Hanayeta in the directory, and I know that I'm here because I have a purpose. And all the things that I did before, I have a purpose. I can help somebody. I can help another suffering addict, a compulsive eater, a drug addict, an alcoholic. You know, I can help any of those people, you know, and share my stories and tell them how I got out of it. And it's such a miracle. I love this program, and I love you all. And don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Everyone out there has a miracle waiting for them. So don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thank you for letting me share. I passed.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Hanayeta from Texas. All right, we're going to move on here to Loretta H. and Rick J. Loretta, you're up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for your service and all of you, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Welcome to the newcomer. And I live and am recovered for today in North Carolina. Oh, boy, what a great way to start the morning. First, I am powerless over food. And it's not that my life is unmanageable, and that's a pronoun. But that dash and that identity that I have both in my issues and my tissues is where I'm hopeless. But then I get to go to the next step, that a power greater than myself. Look, wow, restore this wretch to sanity. So it says on page 63,60, that A, we were alcoholic and could not manage our lives. B, that we probably, no human power could and would it relieve us from our alcoholism. So there has to be something. And at first, it was the group. I came in a narcissistic, but there was help out there. And that, for me, as a control freak, as a person that has to always be right and always not show any type of vulnerability, was the greatest gift that I ever received, was that something bigger than me I could listen to. And I did. My first sponsor, if she said jump, I jumped. But she was also a God sighting. She was a nutritionist, so I got a food plan that was actually dictated by somebody who knows how to eat, because I came in here not knowing how to eat. And so I have been so blessed with seeing these steps and looking at them and working with them that today I can use the word recovery just for today. And of course, I'm not cured, but I have this. When we get to tomorrow's step, I actually have a trust fund that when I open that to God and open my heart to God, turning my will and my life over to Him, it's an investment in each day. And with that, I get to live a life under His care, and I actually, it becomes life livable, and I can tolerate my reality. And with that, I pass. Thank you. And again, welcome to the newcomer, and thank you for all the shares. They were fabulous.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. Okay, Rick J., you're up, followed by Christina J. Please go ahead. And that Loretta was from North Carolina. All right, Rick J.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina as well with my neighbors here. So happy to be
Carolina
joining
now.
Everyone. Indeed, indeed. Wow, you know. This step one and step two, you know, it is a belief system for me, not just, you know, where I come to believe in a power greater, but before I, than me, right? It's got to be greater than me. But before I get to that point, I have to be completely convinced. I have to truly believe that I am powerless, or I will not need a power greater. If I am enough power, yeah, that, you know, powerless over food, my life and becoming manageable. And certainly, you know, it was very easy for me to see in my physical and emotional agony that I was powerless and that my life was unmanageable. What am I exactly powerless over? You know, if I'm really looking at that, yes, I'm powerless over, you know, going into the pantry and the freezer and raiding it and eating till I, you know, throw up or pass out or run out. And, you know, I have a illness that comes in two parts for me. You know, it talks about it in the doctor's opinion and everything else, you know, following that. Up to this point, and it's telling me that, you know, I have a mind and a body that reacts this different, that reacts differently, you know, and I have a mental obsession that will take me to that very first bite, and this disease that I have reassures me that I actually don't have a disease. It's the only disease I know of that reassures me and tries to convince me that I actually don't have this disease. You know, so despite everything I've gone through, I will be convinced that once I make a decision to eat, I will now have control over it. You know, to eat certain foods, it's not all foods, obviously, but certain foods and ingredients and quantities trigger something in my mind. You know, and then that phenomenon of craving kicks in that Dr. Silkworth talks about. And yeah, that phenomenon of craving is this abnormal brain that has a chemical reaction differently from other people in a lot of areas. So once I've got that phenomenon of craving kicked in, I absolutely cannot stop. I'm powerless over it. I cannot control it. Now, some people can. Then there's been periods where I've been able to, you know, like limit it briefly for a certain period of time. But it always is like lighting a fuse. You know, the fuse is lit.
That's
and
nice.
There's going to be a huge explosion. And once I got to that point, then believing in a power greater than myself was the only place to go. And I could see that power working in you. And I came to believe in that before I could actually come to believe in it myself. Sorry for going over, and so glad to be here. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. from North Carolina. So we have Christina J. and then Troy C. Go ahead, Christina.
Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Do you know that what I've realized this morning, I almost passed because I thought, well, what do I got to really say about this? And I'll tell you what I've realized is that pain is a human power. Pain is not going to save me ever. I have been in deep pain in this disease so many times. It doesn't save me. The memory of it doesn't save me, especially when I'm in the midst of a mental obsession that food is going to fix something for me. And sometimes when that mental obsession comes over me, I'm a goner. I am a goner. I am powerless over what comes over me. And I make the sacrifice on the altar of self, my connection to God, my sanity to my health, my freedom. And I let the food massacre me. I sacrifice at least a week of trying to come back to being buried, to trying to come back. It's a huge sacrifice to go back to the food, but I'm powerless over going back to the food unless I'm working this program. Crazy. Like crazy. The only thing that's going to save me is the power greater than myself. The memory of the pain is not going to save my ass. At least this is true for me. I've been there so many times and I've forgotten. In fact, I'm working with a new sponsor now and she, you know, was asking me about my history and I was like, I kind of glossed over it and I thought about it as we hung up and I'm like, oh my God, I have got a lot to say about that. I was in and out of the food. I had tons of sponsors, da 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 da, and the pain of it never saved me. The memory of it never, I forgot. And sometimes I don't forget and I remember. And then the sacrifice is there. I'm going to sacrifice my beautiful self, everything on that altar for the bloody massacre of the food. And, you know, should we be guilty about this? Newcomers, people that have been in and out of relapse and are afraid to say things about it? No, we should not, because we cannot hold ourselves to the standard of someone else who's made it through and maybe has had, many relapses like us, but now they made it to the other side and they're hanging tight. You know, I don't know if there's another relapse in my future. I don't know. I just know one thing, I got to fill up the hole with God. If I fill up my subconscious, my unconscious, if I just fill up my gut, my heart, everything with God, I have a chance. The only thing that's going to save me is my desire for God. My desire for the food, the memory of the pain doesn't do it for me. That's a human power in my book. It brings me to my knees and it brings me to this program, but it will not bring me to putting the food down again. It might for a minute, but unless I strengthen that relationship with God, the not human power came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and it's doing it today. I look back and I've come so far in letting go of that unmanageable life, because life is not manageable. My life is not manageable, and life in general is not managed by me. The only thing I can do is give it to God, surrender, take one day at a time. Love you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J., also from North Carolina. Troy C., you're up, followed by Sheer F. And just a friendly reminder to those of y'all who may have gotten on a little late, we're on page 59, the second paragraph going through step two. Okay, Troy, you're up.
All right, this is Troy C. from Florida, not from North Carolina. Sorry to break the streak there. Thank you, moderator, for your service. steps one and two, the first time I found myself in an AA meeting, I was able to take step one, so to speak, in seconds. You know, I was so blown away by how well the book identified my behavior with other substances that I was just, you know, sign me up, this is me. And I remember, you know, 12 years ago now, being in a substance abuse treatment center and saying to a counselor, you know, my reaction to food is really similar to this. Huh? And, you know, the counselor kind of patted me on the back. Wow, that's really great. And then I somehow set that thought to the side and convinced myself that Nutrisystem or keto or paleo or one meal a day or, you know, whatever, that list could go on ad infinitum. Somehow I think I understood and I can identify what it felt like to have no control over the substance, but I was powerless over it. And so the way that I had to take step one with the food was through bitter experience over 10 years. I'd become convinced that, you know, my character defects made my interpersonal life unmanageable, but my car never drove itself to the liquor store. My car drove itself to McDonald's and to Wawa. I remember, you know, leaving a new girlfriend's house after dinner, and instead of spending the night with my new romantic interest, I left so I could go home, and on the way home I could get my food. This is after a full dinner. You know, I rode the yo-yo roller coaster for so long, and I would get the praise and the accolades from my coworkers. Oh, you look great. And then they would see me, you know, after months of quote unquote eating healthy, they would see me back with pizza or whatever. And, you know, the absurd servings over and over again. I had to be broken over the wheel of the food to finally admit that I was powerless over this thing. I wish I could have had the same experience I had in another program, where, like I said, basically the first time I was in a meeting, I was able to say, oh my God, that's me. You know, I could never understand the gentleman we were introduced to earlier in the book, who they think that the whole, you know, the knowledge, the self-knowledge and everything really describes them, but then they go and drink anyway. I could never understand that with the bottle, but I could absolutely understand it with the food, because I knew what it felt like to be alcoholic and still thought that I could control Costco pizza. So, you know, after literally a decade of being in a 12-step program and knowing what addiction felt like, knowing what alcoholism felt like, but somehow still not being able to through the lie, I'm really glad that I was eventually able to see this. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Troy C. from Florida. Okay, Sheer F., you're up, followed by Rita R.
Good morning. This is Sheer F. from New York. And I just felt the need to share today. Today is my belly button birthday, as somebody told me. And that's always sort of a time to take stock of life. Thank God for this program. It's not the time where I say, oh, this is the day I'm going to get abstinent. This is the year I'm going to do it, because I've learned through this program that every day is that day, you know, where I have to, you know, I have to be abstinent and I have to seek God's help to do it, because this is a damn cunning and baffling and powerful disease. By the grace of God, I've been abstinent from my main addictive substance for close to 16 years. And I mean, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. Over the years, the road has gotten narrower, and I am powerless. I'm powerless over my behavior around food. I'm powerless around how wonderful a solution the food seems like to everything in my life, and including celebrations and negative feelings. And I just need to share that I'm in a lot of negative feelings right now. I'm really living in fear right now of a number of things, you know, some global and some very personal. And the personal ones are ones that I've dealt with through the steps and been freed from, and yet they've crept back in. And I'm not sure why, because I do keep up my spiritual practices and try to live in the steps as much as possible. And yet I'm finding myself this week intensely gripped by fear, existential fear. And, it, you know, the election is part of it, but that was a very minor part of it, really. And I know the answer is in the steps. I know the answer is in God. I know the answer is in you, my fellows. I need help. You know, I guess I'm reaching out for help. I'm on the phone list, always grateful for phone calls. I'm one of those weirdos who prefers phone calls to texts, because I have fat fingers and have trouble texting. I want to get out of this fear. I'm trying every day to give it over to my higher power. And it's not driving me to the food, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the structure of this program, which helps keep me going every day. And I'm grateful for all of you being there and for this meeting, which has really helped me get on the path of recovery. And so I hope you all celebrate my birthday in a wonderful way. And yeah, have a great day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sheer F. from New York. Happy birthday. And let's be careful with the outside issues. Okay, folks? All right, Rita R., you are up, followed by Pete B., and then we're going to take some more names. Please go ahead, Rita.
Hi, everybody. This is Rita R. from Massachusetts. Thank you, moderator. Thank you for everyone who puts this meeting together. So I don't really know what I'm going to say. You know, getting on this meeting, putting my name out is me practicing step two. It's, you know, I am powerless over my self-reliance, definitely so powerless over food, but so powerless over that state that precedes the eating. And, you know, I've compulsively ate, I've restricted. I've done the yo-yo dieting and, you know, had periods of control, and that always tricked me up. But I will say that how I finally took step one is I could not take it anymore, what went through my mind, you know, the fear, doubt, and insecurity, the self-centeredness. I just couldn't take it anymore. And what I became convinced about is that my disease was like, it's all right, we got her. She's just got to live miserably. And no, this program and you all have kind of shown me, no way, there's a way, you know? And so, you know, this is how I practice the program, by taking the action, you know, even though I was scared to share, you know, don't know what I was going to say, you know, came to. And it's working in my life now, you know. I'm just as powerless over my thinking and my wanting to control. That brings me a lot of insanity. So just, this is just the way for me. And I thank you for listening, and I'll pass with that. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Rita R. from Massachusetts. Okay, Pete B., you're up. Then we're going to take some more names.
Hey, Amy, thanks so much for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. Not there right now, but in any case. I'd love for someone, if they would, you know, could tell me anywhere in our book where it says we are currently powerless. If we don't have the phenomena of craving, it clearly says we were powerless, had become unmanageable, and that statement is in past tense. And it's step one for a reason, because our book tells us on page 30 what the first step in recovery is. And the first step in recovery is to concede to our innermost selves that we're compulsive overeaters. And then prior to that, it explains to us from the doctor's opinion and Bill's story, and there is a solution, the significance and the severity of what that means, and we have to concede that we have it. And I love what was said earlier, and you know, the delusion that we are like other people, will be like other people, ever will be like other people, that has to be smashed, which means it has to be destroyed and can never ever be reassembled. And that is the first step in recovery, understanding the significance and the severity of the condition, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. Like, the allergy of the body gets addressed by entire abstinence. We cannot get the phenomenon of craving unless we ingest the substance or engage in the behavior that causes it. That is sane and logical thinking, right? Which leads to step two, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And sanity means right thinking. Is it right thinking to say my car drove myself somewhere, that food leaped off the plate and drew me in and jumped in my body and took over? That's insane thinking. We do, in fact, get restored to sanity. And it doesn't come from working it. It doesn't come from thinking it. It doesn't come from discussing and processing it. It comes from having a spiritual experience. That's what this is telling us, right? And there is not one instance in any of our literature that says we are powerless. It says we were. The only place it does say that I can find is, I think, somewhere around step 7 in the AA 12 and 12, where it says we are powerless because there's a glass in our hand. We are drinking. Right? And I think it's important that we explain, like, the first step, where it is and how it works, it's a conclusion or a summary of everything we read up until there. Right? And power does not mean control. All power means is that we're able to utilize the resources that the Creator has put inside us to be able to recognize the truth. I have this physical condition coupled with this mental condition, that both of them only get worse, never better, but some power outside of myself, I choose to call it God, will remove the obsession and enable me to do or will do for me what I was previously unable to do for myself. And that doesn't come from a sponsor. It doesn't come from a meeting. It comes from the one that has all power, and that one is God, and you find him now. So please, give me a call. Let me know where it says that so I can stop saying it inaccurately. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. Let's watch the crosstalk, too. All right. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Tanita J.
Sally A.
I missed somebody. I got Sally A. Who was the first person?
Jay.
I beg your pardon. I just didn't get it. I got Sally A.
A-N-I-T-A-J. Anita. From Massachusetts.
Oh, my gosh, Anita. I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry, Anita.
Oh.
Okay,
it takes more than that.
Up. Anita J.
Bree?
Anita J. Sally A. And we might have time for one more.
Bree?
Who else would that be?
Bree?
Reese.
From Texas?
Okay, Reese, what's your initial?
R.
R. Reese R. Okay, hopefully we'll get to you. All right, Anita J., please go ahead.
All right. thank you so much, Amy. I'm assuming you can hear me now. This is Anita J., and I live in Massachusetts.
I can, yes.
Step one and step two. Step one, I finally came to see, in fact, years ago I did a special edition on what it took for me to finally surrender. Never mind surrender. See it. See that. You can't eat one. One. And whether it's a little peanut or whatever the heck it is, you can't. But then came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Sanity. I don't know. Did I think I was worthy enough for this? Whatever I thought I had done, you know, when you do the steps, I found out at least I didn't do it. It was just this self-flagellation my whole life. You're bad. You're bad. What a wonderful restoration of a human being I've become. Compared to, you know, in the internal, obviously the outside changes, but the inside changes. no matter what happens. You know, I almost lost it all on my birthday in August when my son didn't come. I still haven't talked to him, but I really got the message from God, let him be, and then I got this little, like a dream or whatever it was, of a hurting little boy. And my heart has melted, and I know it's all going to work out. I am not going to get on any high horse. Somehow he's hurting, and someday I'll find out what it is, and then God and I can restore our relationship. This is the only way to do it, not to go to anyone else about it, just to God and to share it with another human being. And I thank you all for always being here. I pass.
Thank you so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Okay, Sally A., you're up, followed by Reed R. Go ahead, Sally.
Good morning, Amy G. Thank you so much for your service to this meeting. I'm Sally A. in New York, previously from South Jersey, and I'm recovering, and I'm scared. I'm always scared when I speak on this line, always have been. So I hope you're praying for me even now. So we're reading today, here are the steps we took, which are suggested. They're such gentle people, gentlemen, gentle women, that they would suggest what we so desperately require to get well, because this is a disease, a dis-ease. And so here are the steps we took. They're preparing us for the actual steps that they have been preparing us for all of these 58 and some words in the last few pages. And so when we look at this, we admitted, and this is me for today, we admitted, I admitted I was powerless over food, different things, different foods, and that my life had become unmanageable. And it's interesting that the word admitted is right there at the beginning, because if I don't admit it to myself, it doesn't really matter if anybody else can see what I can see in myself. In fact, most people around me and in my life cannot see what I see. So it's only important that I admit to myself that I'm powerless. And this word powerless, they brought up in so many different ways, but most importantly, on the bottom of 22 and the top of 23, both in the bodily and mental self sense, which makes it virtually impossible for him to stop. And this is what I constantly think to myself, even when I'm in the food, because we really can no longer eat with impunity. It's telling us that we can't stop. If that's you, you have this. If you're like me and you say, if you think that a portion of blueberries is when it's all gone, a portion of most things are when it's all gone because you can't stop. Or at the bottom of page 23 and the top of 24, he has lost control. These words are repeated over and over in There Is a Solution, that we can't stop and that we've lost control. And that's important, but when it tells me in step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable, I always have to remember that what they're telling me here and what they've told me in these previous pages is that I have to put the food down before I even get started, at least for a couple of days. On the bottom of XXVI, it tells us it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached. Put the food down. On the bottom of XXVII, and by the way, I've always looked at this as the bottom line, and so often the most important line on each page the bottom line. Thank you. I'll just finish with this sentence. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed from his physical craving for food or liquor in their case. And so it's important for me when I look at step one to admit that I'm powerless and put the food down before I even get started. Thanks for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally. New York, and we are, it looks like we've got about a minute and a half if you want to take it or not, up to you.
Hi, my name is Bree from Dallas, Texas, and I don't have abstinence, so I usually don't like to share in this meeting because I feel that a lot of people have abstinence and I don't. But what I got from the reading and from the shares was the acceptance and the powerless of what, for me, the food that I know I cannot control, and mostly anything I cannot control, so I have to follow a meal plan. And I think that in my head I build up the story that I'm going to starve, which is not going to happen, because at the end of the day I just want something to take me away from my own thoughts. So that's how I start grabbing the food. But the powerless, what I could relate to the powerless is that I know that once something of anything, well, I will not stop, and I know what those foods are. But I'm glad to be here, and I just want to give my phone number. It's 806-224.
Here we go. Reed, I need you to hold on, hon. This is a recorded meeting, but we will ask for your phone number at the end. So if you just hold on when we do announcements and our newcomer greeter, we'd love to get your phone number and introduce you to the meeting, okay? All right, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you so much, Reese, for your share. And I'd like to thank everyone who has shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following. The share ID for today, Thursday, November 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,915. That's 21915. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Katie G. please read A Vision for You? Katie G., are you there? Katie, press star 1 to unmute. Am I still being heard?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Crystal
R. Do you want me
yes,
to
we hear you.
May,
you
yes. May I do that?
Fill in for Katie. Yes, please go ahead. I'm not hearing anyone.
We hear you.
Oh, my goodness. I was talking. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much.